We come now to the first of our community elements, and starting off with Brian's good news. A very good day to you, Brian.
And a good day to you too, Rob.
It's great to see you here, and this day is fantastic, weather-wise.
Indeed. And the news is good also.
The news is good also, yes. Now, I think we're starting off with board games, are we not?
Indeed. The makers of a new board game focusing on the Northeast have started the hunt to find someone to launch it. Winning Moves UK is producing an Aberdeen version of Monopoly, which is set to hit the shelves later this year. It is set to feature a range of local landmarks and organisations, with the charity Befriend a Child already announced as the first square. Marshall College is also likely to feature, as well as Aberdeen Football Club's Pittodrie Stadium. A number of unique locally themed tokens will take the place of the usual Monopoly favourites such as the car, dog and boot. The game will be officially unveiled on October 15th and the makers are aiming to find a Northeast person or family to help launch it. To be in with a chance of being named an Aberdeen Monopoly VIP, those interested should get in touch with Winning Moves telling them why they love the Granite City. The entries can be anything from poems to pictures and videos. The company's custom games executive, Jennifer Lau, said, "We are totally open-minded as to the form the entries should take. The most inventive and creative entry will win. The winners will receive the very first copy of the game to roll off the presses." Bosses at Winning Moves hope the launch of the popular game will spark a day of celebration in the Northeast. Monopoly producer Graham Barnes said, "The game will be officially launched at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, October 15th, and we are hoping it will mark a start of a day of celebration in Aberdeen. Mr. Monopoly will be going round the city, visiting prominent landmarks and posing for selfies. We are thrilled that we now have a scheduled launch date for the game. We have had enormous advance orders from retailers as well as on Amazon. Aberdeen has a profile all over the world as a result of expats and tourists, and we are hopeful this version of the game will do well. To be in with a chance of becoming the VIP, email vip@6starpr.co.uk. A unique carved bench has been unveiled in honour of a much-loved vet who dedicated his life to working with animals. Staff at the Kirkton Vet Centre in Stonehaven wanted a special seat to be designed in memory of Alan Anat. The 70-year-old from Stonehaven died in January after contracting sepsis following cancer treatment complications. Alan, who has battled skin cancer the last 2 years, was originally from Perthshire, but moved to Stonehaven for work. He initially worked out of his family home on Ardoothie Road, but then moved to open the veterinary practice. The bench, which has been installed outside the building, features wooden carvings of a spaniel, a salmon and a rabbit. Mr. Anat's colleague, Fiona McPherson, also a vet at the practice, said they had worked together since 1990 and he was often at the centre with his two Cocker Spaniels, Jill and Gypsy. She said the seat, made of elm, was donated by his family friends and has been a hit with the owners of animals visiting the appointments. The 52-year-old said, "We gave the artist creative freedom, but we wanted to make sure he incorporated a few things. Alan had Cocker Spaniels and loved dogs, so we made sure to include a spaniel. George Burr, who donated the elm, used to bring in his rabbits over the last 30 to 40 years. That's why there's a rabbit. Alan was a very keen salmon fishery. Every Wednesday he would be down to the River Dee to fish. It's a lovely way to remember him by, and it just brings a smile to everyone's faces when you walk by it. If it makes someone smile, then I think it serves its purpose." Miss McPherson said both visitors and staff had been petting the wooden spaniel when walking past. She added, "It's sort of like the Greyfriars Bobby dog statue in Edinburgh. you can't help but rub his nose or stroke him. It's also been very popular with clients who come by with their dogs. Sometimes you take a peek outside and they have their dog sitting on the bench while they take a picture. The artist took about 2 months to complete the seat, and the team at Kirkton Vet Centre also hopes to install a plaque in the near future. Miss McPherson described the bench as a lovely sight and praised chainsaw artist David Roberts for doing a tremendous job. She said, "We were just amazed when we finally saw it. A lot of people here have worked with him for a long time, and our younger staff used to come in with their pets when they were kids and now work here. It's a nice celebration of Alan's memory. It's a great way to remember him and his love for animals. He is very much missed by all of us at the centre." A guide dog has been named after legendary Doric musician Robbie Shepherd. The one-year-old German Shepherd has been sponsored by a family so he can be trained up to live with a blind or partially sighted person. Craig Pike and his comedy team, the Flying Pigs, have been busy fundraising with his relatives to pay for the special canine training. The group, well known for its BBC Two show Desperate Fishwives, raised the money for the Guide Dog for the Blind charity through generous donations popped into collection tins at Inverurie Panto events, and money was also added from donations given to Craig's parents George and Eileen Pike at their recent golden wedding party. Craig said, "Robbie has been a long-standing supporter of the Flying Pigs since we started over 20 years ago. He is such a well-known local face. When we decided to sponsor a guide dog, we were very keen to name it after Robbie. Guide dogs are such clever animals. They play such an important role for so many people who are stuck without them. We have supported the charity for a few years now because the work they do is so important." Robbie Shepherd, 83, met his namesake for the first time at Duthie Park in Aberdeen yesterday. The broadcaster said, "I am delighted to be a part of this. I am a big fan of the Flying Pigs, even though they do take the mick out of me on stage sometimes. I am honoured because a close family friend of ours, Christine Nish, used to train guide dogs, puppies, and was a great campaigner, so the charity is particularly close to my heart. The dog will be partnered up with a blind or partially sighted person to help them live more independently after it is fully trained. The dog's handler and trainer, Rona Armitage, who lives near Dundee and has worked with the charity for 19 years, said it would not be long before she says goodbye to the lovable German Shepherd, who is the eighth dog she has trained. She said he will go to his next stage in training in the summer. I enjoyed meeting Robbie today. He was such a lovely guy." A nurse who supports children with complex disabilities and life-changing conditions has spoken of the rewards of her job. Community nurse Fiona Fairley joined the Charlie House charity at the end of last year and through her role helps families. "The link between Fiona and the families supported by Charlie House is essential. She ensures there's a familiar face through every step of their journey. Staff at the charity are busy fundraising for its £8 million Big Builder appeal to create a specialist support centre for children and their parents in Aberdeen. It will feature 8 bedrooms and accompanying family accommodation, as well as a range of different facilities, and will be built at Woodend Hospital. The nurse, who is employed by NHS Grampian with the position funded by Charlie House, spoke out about her role during Children's Hospice Week, a time of the year dedicated to raising awareness and funds for palliative care services for children across the UK. She said, "Every day is really different. One of the biggest things I do is home visits to kids and families out in the community all over the North East. A lot of them are admitted to hospital. I'll visit them wherever they are. It's so rewarding when you realise, especially with a child with a newly diagnosed condition, what a support you can be for them. It's nice when you see you can actually make a difference to that family. I think they like having someone there who knows them. The children can have feeding tubes and be using other medical equipment they've never had before. I can teach them how to use them to help them to get home from hospital quicker. I help make that discharge process a bit easier, especially for the first time they're going home, because there's so much involved, and I'll go and see them at home to see how they're getting on. The community nurse is on hand to help children move through the different stages of their treatment, helping babies with neonatal care and making sure children with life-limiting conditions have the best quality of life. Lee Ryrie, Children and Family Support Manager at Charlie House, said, "Having Fiona as a key part of our team is a vital link between Charlie House and Royal Aberdeen Children's Hospital. Many of the families we support can spend extended periods of time in the hospital. So to still be able to have that link with Charlie House when they are admitted is comforting and familiar to the families." We have a scripture text today taken from Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God."
Amen. Amen. Great. Thank you very much, Brian. I was just thinking when you read your first story out about Monopoly, we actually do have a copy, I think the first version of the Monopoly game for Aberdeen. So there is already a version out there, but this version is obviously promising to be something rather more special.
Yes, it must be. And that will be appreciated indeed.
Yeah, especially including local landmarks, and indeed the actual tokens that you move around are going to be based on Aberdeen items. So it'll be interesting to see how they do and whether you actually need to have a card machine to actually use the game. I don't know, because I played a version of the game that you actually need to have a card machine. You put a card in and you then get your money as money on a card. And when you pay someone, they have to put their card in one side and you put it in the other side, and you type in the money that you're going to pay to them and it transfers it.
It could be quite exciting.
It could be quite exciting, yeah. Anyway, we've played this Monopoly game before, but I'll be interested to see what the new Monopoly game does. And I would love to be able to actually see this, some of the proceeds actually from the Monopoly game going to actually help charities in the Northeast. Now that would be something, wouldn't it?
Of course it will.
Yeah. Right. Now, it's fairly pet-orientated. At least two stories are pet-orientated, aren't they? In fact, almost three, because you've got, well, health-orientated in the last one with Charlie House, and this is something that I know is quite close to your heart, really, Charlie House.
Yes, it's really helping people of, well, virtually all ages, but mostly young people, to adjust more to life and have a more successful and longer life, and happier too.
Yeah, and by having a community nurse such as Fiona Fairley, it helps to make that link between the NHS and indeed Charlie House.
So she really enjoys her job, and I'm not at all surprised at that.
Well, you can see that.
The satisfaction that she gets from helping people is brilliant.
And I'm quite sure that no one day is the same.
Hmm.
So then you've got your two pet stories, one where they're actually remembering someone who took really good care of pets, and then the second one where they're training up guide dogs to provide a seeing dog to help people who are blind.
That's a brilliant service, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think that these charities, they just go and they continuously do day in, day out, to make sure that people actually have that support that is there. And they do get recognised, yes, but maybe not as much as they could do.
Not as much as they deserve.
And it's good that they were naming it after Robbie Shepherd. So thank you very much for that, Brian. I believe that you have got a little addendum to make.
Yes, indeed, I have today. Because last week, if you were listening, you would have heard about a school crossing patroller at Woodside School who did a fantastic job and was so well received by all the children and the parents and that. Well, since then, he has received a Star Award from the Evening Express. They have recognised his work and have named him as the People's Champion. His name was Bill Esselmond, and he really did such a great job that, in my opinion, he really deserved that award.
And as you say, he didn't really like the limelight, so he didn't actually attend the awards ceremony last Thursday. He wasn't there for that. Oh. Because, of course, he had to get up as a school crossing patrolman the following day. And so I think...
He had his priorities correct.
He had his priorities. And so he will have got the award by now. But it was, I have to say, a really good night for many, the Star Awards. And even the Rangers Service got an award.
Yes, I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
And especially since... I don't want to make you big-headed.
No. Thankfully, I'll be able to get out the door.
Rob is a member of the Countryside Ranger Service, and they received a special Star Award from the council that same evening.
So, for the use, but
don't get too big-headed.
It was for use of resources, and as we'd already received such an award before, we were actually really most surprised, because the actual standard, the calibre of the people in all categories was strong, and particularly we thought in our particular category, which was use of resources, we all thought that it could have easily gone to the either of the other two as well, so we were most surprised when we ended up getting it. So that was really good.
Yeah, you were very pleased.
We were pleased, yes, and somewhat humbled as well, just because we didn't, I suppose, expect to get that.
But nevertheless, because of the award, you were obviously recognised.
We were indeed, and it's always a privilege. Whenever we have...
And an encouragement.
And it's an encouragement. It's a pat on the back, and it's a kind of, well, you know, we would like to see you do more in the future, and that should be the way it goes. Now, I have to mention that today, Brian, as we record this, is actually a special day. It's a Thursday, and it's the day of the glitter pick. It's the day of the glitter pick, and, you know, I've been already out and about. 6 o'clock this morning, I was out and about with this high vis on and doing a little bit of litter picking, at least, though I did feel a bit of a fraud because some of the others had got more litter than I had. It's just the route I took. I ended up thinking, I'll go up this way, and then find that someone had already done that route. So then I went the other way, and there wasn't really a lot of litter. But in a sense, that's a really good thing. There wasn't such a lot of litter in certain parts of the site, so where it mattered for nature, that was good that there wasn't so much litter.
But you can be satisfied because you did something which will improve.
We did something which will improve, and hopefully the heart is to raise the profile of the fact that litter is out there, the fact that litter is causing a real issue. Not only in the countryside, but in Aberdeen, because I believe that the running total, almost year on year, is about £4 million that the council spends to pick up litter. And that, I'm sure you would agree, is a huge amount of money.
Very much so. It would be great if that could be reduced.
Markedly reduced. I mean, think what you could actually use that money for, to instead of actually spending that money on picking up litter and dog poo. I mean... Today I popped out to just by the harbour and looked across the control centre, and on the ground, people, I mean, I know it's dog walkers, and they pick up their dog's poo, they leave it in dog poo bags along the side. In their minds, they think they're going to come back later and pick it up. But in reality, I don't think that's actually what happens. They forget about it. They follow a different route, and then they leave it in situ. So you've got something for people possibly to step on, something that could possibly blow about if it's not weighed down enough. Mm-hmm. And it's there, and it really should be put in the correct place, which is a dog poo bin. And then there's plastic. People unwrap chocolate or something and then the wrapper goes immediately on the ground, and then it's there, which can be blown into the sea or into bushes, and then birds nest in bushes, and there were loads and loads of birds around. But why? Why not just pick things up and put it in? Or if it's something that can be recycled, then recycle it. There was a Ribena bottle which could easily have been recycled, easily have been put in a recycling bin. I took it and I popped it in a recycling bin. But why not the actual person take it and put it in the bin?
That would be very important, I think. Our minds need to be concentrating on doing things properly.
Yeah. Now, I'm pleased to say that actually that you've been getting all these good news stories out of the Evening Express, and tomorrow you should even have a spread all about the glitter pick that's actually taking place today. And the Evening Express and the editor are very keen on the work that is being done today, the work that is actually being done to pick up litter from the streets, and they are in full support of this. How great it would be to actually get supermarkets and takeaways and other businesses involved with this. Schools are involved, yes, and I think people are starting to take notice, but it could be a lot more. So for the supermarkets and the takeaways to actually have something about this and getting the message across to people not to be dropping the litter, and to think where that money could go to. It could, that money in these times of strictures could be used for helping children to get better results at school by providing extra equipment. That money could go to providing help for poorer people who are not able to manage otherwise, to be providing with food, because I know that the council does a great job in making sure that children of less well-off families are given food and help during the summer when the schools are not on, but they're given meals and things. Now, it would help the council greatly to be able to provide these services for people.
And the whole community would benefit from this.
And, well, the whole city would benefit, yes. Because ultimately, if year on year you could reduce down the amount of litter, it would result in, who knows, as well as extra services, it might even result in less costs by way of council tax.
It would do.
And also emergency services like the police, the fire service and ambulance, some of their money actually comes through the council.
True.
So again, there'd be more police, there'd be more fire services. There's only 6 fire engines in Aberdeen. Would you believe it?
Wow.
6 fire engines in Aberdeen. And for every call out, at least 2 or 3 of them go to 1 call out.
Uh-huh.
So if there were 2 call outs across the city, then that's all 6 tied up. But then if people light malicious fires, willful fire raising on the likes of the Gramps or any of the other places, the fire in dry conditions like this can take hold. If there's lots of litter on the ground, that can go up. So the fire service are particularly keen for people to pick up litter. And you then get a result of, if there's a following wind, you can get a huge amount of damage being caused, insurance, knock-on effects of people being put at risk, not least the fire service. So we're thinking, come on, people, make sure that you pick up litter. Come on, people, think what that money could be used for.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm a bit on a bit of a rant here, but it really is, I think, it's a justified rant.
Yes.
Because we're believing that people can do so much more. The council does what it can to help. It helps people, but people can do so much as well for themselves and for others.
It's very, very important. I'm glad you've mention these things, because you've increased my determination to pick up any litter that I might see.
Well, yes, and I think if we got a pair of gloves or something for, and a litter picker for each person and some bags, well, who knows what could be done. But they are encouraging people to pick up litter, not only today, but it takes days like this to really get people going.
Yeah, we can see the benefit from it.
Yeah, you can. Brian, can I thank you very much, and can I get you to go and read out the scripture once again?
Willingly. From Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, which says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Amen.
Amen. Brian, can I thank you very much for coming in, and we look forward to seeing you in a fortnight's time. This programme going out again next Friday at the same time, also on Saturday and Sunday at 12 p.m. And this will be also available as a podcast. Keep it coming. This is Gospel for Grampian.